my lord, turn in, I pray you, in your servant's house, and tarry all night, and I'll wash your feet, and I'll rise up early, and you go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the streets all night. And he goes on, and then they say that they did go into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. Okay? That's quite different than how Abraham treated those gentlemen in chapter 18. Because they come in, he feeds them a little bit of bread, and they move on. It spells out how much bread. It spells out that they killed the best calf, right? Tender and juicy and perfect, right? In chapter 18, where he did everything in his power, Abraham specifically, to help welcome these strangers into his tent. Lot did not do the same. He was more interested in himself. He was more interested in doing those things. Back in chapter 18, Abraham hasted to do everything. He got in a hurry doing all of these things. Okay? But it says that they come into his house. And we said that that meant that he had become a permanent resident inside the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, what we need to understand now is that since they've come in, they're in his house. How wicked was Sodom and Gomorrah? And we start reading about it in verse 4. It says, but before they lay down, before the men could even go to sleep, okay, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed around about, and I want you to see this, both old and young. You know what this means? That means every generation. Every generation, not this generation up here is good and the youth are forsaking it. It says both old and young, everyone in that city. And it says all the people from every quarter, right? It's not like one part of the city was good, one part was bad. You know, we go into Charleston and we say, well, we're going to stay away from that part of the city because this part over here is good. No, it says from every quarter of the city, these men come. And what did they come for? It says, and they called Lot, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them unto us so that we may know them. You know what they wanted to do with them? They wanted to rape them. They wanted to rape them. They wanted to have sexual relations with them. That's, I mean, we're talking about an innocent strangers at that. You know what I mean? Two just random guys coming through their town. And this was their way they welcomed people into their... That's not a good thing. But that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the wickedness of the city. Now, our focus is on Lot, though, okay? Here in this wickedness, Lot went out and he shut the door and he said, I pray you, do not so wickedly, right? Don't do this evil deed. Don't do this wicked thing. He said, behold, I have two daughters which have not known a man. Let me, I pray thee, bring them to you, and you do to them what's good in your eyes. Only unto these men, therefore, came under the shadow of my roof. That's important too. They were underneath his roof. When he welcomed them into his house, that means he was going to provide protection. He was going to provide nourishment. He was going to provide place to sleep. He was going to provide all of that stuff. He was responsible when they come under his roof to provide the protection from any kind of harm or anything like that. So what's he doing? Now he's even got to the point where he's offering up his own daughters. That's how wicked this is, right? He's offering up his own children, okay? And he goes as far to say, they don't know a man. What does that mean? They were virgins, right? You got to think also contextually about this. Because when you would offer your daughter as a virgin to a man, this was a good thing, okay? This would have been, for someone who, listen, y'all, studying this thing made me sick, okay? I'm just telling you. Offering virgins to someone who is sexually promiscuous, okay? All right? Was almost like you were giving them a good thing. All right? The highest level at that. Okay? That's how sick this is. All right? So, and even it even messed with Lot's way of thinking, because he had dwelt so long in this city that he would offer his daughters. Okay? And now, how, if Lot had lived in a manner that would carry a little bit of weight, carry some credibility, okay, what would they have done? Maybe they would have accepted him. Maybe they did that. Well, verse 9 tells us that these men were way beyond the ability to reason, okay? In Lot's eyes, he had offered them a good thing. And he says, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn. What does that mean? Hey, you're an outsider, right? You come in from outside our country, from outside our walls. You're not one of us. And then they said, and he will needs be a judge. Who give you the authority? Right? They didn't even accept him. All the years that he dwelt in there, they did not even accept who he was. He said, now we will dwell worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man and even Lot, and came near and brake the door. And the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house and shut the door. And the angels kind of took over here, okay? The angels took over. They smote the men that were at the door with the house with blindness, both small and great. And they that wearied themselves find the door, okay? Now here's where they're interceding, right? He said, do you have anybody here? We're getting ready to destroy this city. God has sent us to destroy this city. Do you have anybody here? And he starts counting, right? He starts counting. He's got his wife. He's got his two daughters. And he's got the two men that his daughters would be there, right? How many is that less than? 10, right? As Abraham prayed, if there'll be at least 10, will you save the city? Sure. Well, there's less, right? So he's telling them the destruction is coming. Lot, hast thou any besides? Son-in-laws, thy sons, thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. The people had cried so long. They cried so... we talked about in the book of Philippians how we pray, and then there's another word that we use for prayer, supplications, right? And that supplication, that word supplication meant that there was a great deal of anxiety, there was a great deal of urgency, there was a great deal of prayer being laborsome, and in fact, right? He said the cry of them was so great that it come all the way to the face of the Lord, and he's going to intercede, right? And we can compare this to a couple of things. It could be the cry of the blood, right? Your brother's blood cries from the earth, okay? The cry of the people of Israel that were in bondage in Egypt. That is the kind of cry that we're talking about, and it's so grievous, okay, that it got to the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Okay? So wicked that he sent to destroy it. And Lot went out. This is how much credit he had. Lot went out, spake unto his son-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place. The Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one who mocked unto his son-in-laws. What does that mean? It means that he lived in the city. He never stood up against it. And it means he had no credit. He had no credibility in the eyes. If he had been this not carnal Christian, but a spiritual Christian, right, such as Abraham was, they may listen to him. But he dwelt among the wickedness so long and made compromise after compromise. And it had whittled down his sensitivity to sin so much that when he tried to do things according to the things of God, that nobody believed him. Nobody believed him. It says, and when the morning rose, the angels hastened Lot, said, arise, take thy wife, thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. He said, it's coming. It's coming. But what does Lot do? Verse 16, he lingered. Why? Why? If you know the destruction is coming, why would you linger? I point this out again, the end of Romans 1. The end of Romans 1 talks about a group of people, a group of reprobate people that were turned over to the lust of their mind. They were turned over to the sins of their flesh. And it says so much that they went on in sin. They created new ways to sin. And it says so much that they knew judgment was coming, but they still partook. And it says that they had pleasure in doing that thing. Why did he linger? He could not let go. He was entrapped by the sin and the torment and all that stuff within Sodom because he was safe. That's not how it works. He lingered. The men, now they take it a step further. The men laid hold of him, of his hand, and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hands of his daughters, and the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. These guys said, okay, you don't want to listen, I'm going to kick you out. You, your wife, and your daughters, I'm going to kick you out of here. You got to be protected. There's an episode here that we need to make sure that we don't miss. It says, being merciful unto them. You can go over into verse 29. It says, when he destroyed the cities of the plain, God remembered Abraham. Now, with that being said, where's the last time that we see God remembering someone? Noah. You go back into Genesis chapter 8 and verse 1, and it says that Noah found grace in the sight of God. Now, I got to thinking, as wicked as we're reading about Sodom and Gomorrah, okay, and God would destroy one or two cities, okay? And we'll find out that he destroys Zoar too, or Lot goes. How bad was the world when he covered the whole earth in water? If you look up Sodom and Gomorrah and Zoar now, you know where they're at? Anybody want to take a stab where they're at? They don't exist anymore. They're underwater. They're underneath the corners of the Dead Sea. Okay, those cities do not exist anymore on the map because they are covered in water. Think about it. Noah was saved, found grace in the eyes of God, and God covered the whole world with water. How bad? And you know, we look outside and we see what's going on in our world, and he ain't destroyed it yet. It's bad, y'all. It's bad. It says, and it came to pass in verse 17, when they had brought them forth abroad and said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Now, before Lot comments back, there's a significance in this. Who would have been in the mountains? Abraham, right? They looked down from the mountain. Lot went down and Abraham stayed in the mountains, okay? Think about just a few chapters before this. Lot found himself in trouble. Who came to save him? Uncle Abraham. You would have thought then that he would have leaned more on him. But here, these angels, it seems to me, it doesn't say that, so just formulate your own opinion, I guess. But here, these angels are saying, hey, go back and dwell with God's friend. Go back and dwell with God's people. Go back up in the mountain where you belong, separated unto God. Giving them a way out. Verse 18, and Lot said, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant has found grace in thy sight. Thou hast magnified thy mercy. which thou hast showed me in saving my life. I cannot escape to the mountain lest some evil take me and I die. I can't go out and live on my own. He's used to all the prosperity and all those things that he had there in Sodom, right? He had all kinds of wealth. He had all kinds of riches. He had a position in the politics there in the city. He had all of these things, and it was taken away from him immediately. Well, I can't go out there and live on my own. So he says, behold, now there's a city, verse 20. There's a city to flee unto, and it's a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. He said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning, this is the angel, I've accepted thee concerning this thing, that I will not overthrow that city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou come thither. The angel said, listen, get out of here. God has saved you. Go your way. He said, I can't even do my job until you're gone. Can't do it. Go. He said, make haste. He said, it's coming. Therefore, the name of the city was Zoar, which means little. He wanted to be around people. Okay? We'll see something else here in a minute. Verse 23, the sun was risen upon the earth. Lot entered into Zoar, and then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire and from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But there's something about looking back, right? Something about looking back. Lot's wife looked back and she became a pillar of salt. There's a passage in Luke talks about the return of the Lord. It says that person that is out on the rooftop and he sees the Lord in the skies, what's he not to do? Don't go back inside and pack, right? That one that's out in the field, doing his work in the harvest, don't even turn back to grab one more thing to eat, right? Don't do these things. He said, anyone who is going to turn back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. And she did it. She looked back. She looked back. It's interesting to me, I suppose, as Lot and his daughters are going, that she's the only one that looked back. You know, I can imagine Lot running with his wife and she dissolves, let's say. Okay, I would look down. He just kept on going, it seems like. That's the way it's portrayed, that he wouldn't even look back. But his wife, gone. Then we see Abram. We see Abraham in verse 27. Abraham got up early in the morning, the place where he stood before the Lord. Remember back in chapter 18, him and God, they stood right side by side talking about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. He said he went right back to the same spot and beheld, lo, the smoke of the country went up as smoke of a furnace. It came to pass that when God destroyed the cities of the plain, God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst and overthrew the cities when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. Then Lot went up to Zoar, right? Or went up out of Zoar. Why? Why did he do that? You got a family that's running out of one city. It gets destroyed. And you go into another city. What are those people going to think of you? Well, you've done caused us. We're going to be destroyed next. He says, I got out of there, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. And he dwelt in the cave, he and his two daughters. Right? So they did. They went on up to the mountain. They didn't go to the mountain where Abraham was, right? They went and they said, well, we don't have nowhere else to go. And the thing is, like when we think about how evil and wicked these cities were, you know, it's just, there's things that are going on in our land that we're headed for the same thing. We're headed for the same thing because the scripture said that one of these days, the Lord is going to return and everything in this earth is going to melt up with fervent heat. Right? Going to melt up with fervent heat. You know, and then the thing becomes, if we don't do the things that we are supposed to do, then what's our kids going to do? And we find out, right? Because he didn't take his family out of the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah. That tells me that not only was he still exposed to it, but his daughters were still exposed to it. His wife was still exposed to the wickedness. What was going on in their minds, their lives? Well, it tells us. Because remember, one of the things that Mr. Zimmerman said was the respect and the construction of the family. Okay? So what should have happened, what should have been the attitude between Lot's daughters and Lot? They should have held him in high regard and the respect of the fatherly position of the family. They did not. Okay? And we see that in verse 30. Okay? 31. And the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come unto us after the manner of all the earth. What does that mean? There's no men for us to have relations with. God destroyed the boyfriends that we had, those son-in-laws, right? They destroyed them. So we don't have any man. It's almost like they're saying, God destroyed the world and there's only three of us left. So what do? Well, we deceive, right? We deceive, we distract, we let him get drunk and distort, right, his abilities for sense and stuff. And he says, come, let us make our father drink wine and we will lie with him and we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father to drink wine all that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her, and he perceived her not when she lay down, nor when she arose. Came to pass on the morrow, the firstborn said unto the younger, behold, I lay yesternight with my father, let us make him drink tonight, and you go in and lie with him, and that we may preserve the seed of our father. The wickedness had not just passed from Lot. It went all the way through his lineage. It went all the way to his children. Okay? Look, I mean, it's compromise after compromise after compromise. And listen, I listened to a sermon on repentance today that Michael Hayes has sent me. And one of the things he said was that if we don't repent daily, okay, and we've said over time that repentance is not a cry, it's a change. Okay, it is a change of heart, which leads to a change of mind, which leads to a change of action. Okay, it is a change. Lot didn't change. Okay, if we don't repent daily and make those changes that make us more and more like Christ, then the scriptures say that all we're doing is adding judgment onto ourselves. We're building up, stacking up judgment to ourselves. To the point, Bob Jennings' sermon, to the point that we get desensitized to the sin that's going on around us. Make sense? We get desensitized to the things that are going on around us. And here, they made their father drink. Verse 36 says that thus both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. Who did these children become? Verse 37 tells us one, the firstborn bare a son, and his name was called Moab, the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she bare a son, called his name Ben-Ammi, same as the father of the children of Ammon, or the Ammonites, unto this day. When you study through the history, the Moabites and the Ammonites were the fiercest of enemies, the fiercest of competitors over the promised land when Israel would be delivered out of Egypt, going into the promised land. Those would be their biggest threats when they would do that, as you study that out. Okay? As we understand, we compromise. Okay? Let's go back to this. Okay? We compromise and we compromise and we compromise to the point where sin does not bother us anymore. Okay? Then when it doesn't bother us, it will not bother the next generation. Think about that. Remember, who come to Lot's house? Both old and young. All generations of Sodom, right? And then you think about, okay, God's going to destroy the city. And he lingered. How many Christians know God's coming, know that the fire and wrath from God is coming? Christians. And don't take it serious. Right? Knowing judgment's coming, and they still go on about their business. It's scary. It is. Because the scriptures say, if you believe that the Bible is the word of God and that it is true and it's perfect, you know, judgment's coming. And that one thing leads to the next, and then we end up like Sodom and Gomorrah. And it becomes the tearing apart of a civilization because we did not heed. You know, we can get over into, you know, this is Genesis, you can get over to the end of Joshua. What was Joshua's warning to the people at the end of Joshua 23? Take heed. Take heed that you listen to the words of God and do them carefully. Because when you don't, your world's going to fall apart. God will still be there, but your world is going to fall apart. Now, my question is, for us, do we take that seriously? I can't answer that for you. You got to answer that for yourself. Are we making light of some of the things? You know, we joke about Judgment Day coming or something like that. Do we make light of those things? I'm guilty. I ain't going to lie to you. I'm guilty. I'd say everybody in this room is guilty. But I'm going to be the first to say I am. I'm telling you, this is serious stuff. Like, I'm sick. I'm sick about this chapter because we don't hear nothing else of Lot. After chapter 18, Lot is taken out, right? We don't see nothing else. The story goes back to Abraham in chapter 20. And we continue the journey of faith with Abraham. We don't hear nothing else. But we did see, the only thing that we have left is that because one man made a compromise and got desensitized to the sin around him, it affected God's promised people and promised land, for that matter. It's a wicked world out there. Let's pray.